Many Americans say they can't live without their pets, but some can't live with them. That's because of pet fees, charges a landlord might levy to house a pet on top of the regular rent, or in the form of a non-refundable pet deposit. And research shows these fees affect low-income tenants and tenants of color the most. With us is author Carol Mithers. She covered this for Dame Magazine. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thanks for having me.
For me, it would be a devastating choice to have to decide between a place to live and my pet. But you say that is happening more and more often. Can you tell us a little bit about what you heard from people who've faced this decision?
I talked to two people, both of whom were low-wage workers. One of them had had a new lease put up on her rent, on her apartment, and it included $50 a month in pet rent, and she just couldn't afford it. And she, in fact, was forced to rehome her pet, and she was very sad about it. Another woman I talked to was hit with a $500 pet deposit, a pet fee, excuse me, not a deposit, a fee, when she moved into her place. And that's simply money that's paid out. She'll never get it back.
This particular area of inequality hasn't gotten a lot of attention until recently. And there's a new research paper called Pet Friendly for Whom? I wonder, what does a study like that and other academic literature tell you about the treatment of pets in housing and how it relates to systemic bias?
This particular study looked at the effect of pet fees in Texas in particular. And these researchers found that less expensive pet-friendly listings, which are already hard to come by, were more likely to have fees charged on top of rent than more expensive ones. And that low-income communities and communities of color were more likely than higher-income and predominantly white communities to pay disproportionately higher fees to keep their pets in their homes. There's no reason for that except that we have a huge shortage of affordable housing for low-income renters within the United States. So when there's less to choose from and people have pets, they're inclined to simply pay what they have to because they don't have many options. What was most shocking to me, honestly, was that there was a study done which was called Pet Inclusive Housing Initiative Report, which was put up to persuade more landlords to let pets in, saying that this is a good thing for landlords because the apartments re-rent more quickly, tenants stay longer. And they found out that the deposits in pet rents that landlords charged usually are far higher than any damages caused by pets. So this is like found money.
What kind of regulation is there? Are there limits to the amount someone can charge for pet fees?
Well, there's no federal regulations, with the exception of if you have a service animal, in which case a landlord cannot charge any fees. So there are state laws, and it really depends on where you live. In Texas, everything's legal. There's no cap. In California, there's a cap on deposits, which means that a security deposit, whether or not it includes a pet deposit, can't exceed 2 months' rent if it's an unfurnished apartment. In Kansas, landlords can charge up to 1 month's rent for an unfurnished rental unit and an additional pet deposit.
So you and other researchers are uncovering the connection between these pet fees and discrimination, even criminalization, as I understand it, in the housing system, in that pet ownership sometimes leads to people calling the police or even animal control. What is being done about this?
You know what? Nothing, because if you can find a housing rights lawyer who can get involved on your behalf, that helps. It's not necessarily criminal when a landlord calls animal control on you. It's sort of like weaponizing pets. And life can be made very uncomfortable via a pet. In some cases that a housing rights lawyer told me about, the landlord is hoping to get the tenants uncomfortable and ready to move. And so they call animal control and say this dog has been barking all day, or in some really bad cases, say that the animal has been abandoned while the tenant is not home, and animal control can swoop in and actually take the pet.
If there's someone out there saying, okay, so pet fees are high, if you can't afford it, don't have a pet, what's your response to this? Why does this matter?
Most Americans right now consider pets family. And so does that mean only somebody who has money can have the comfort and love and support of an animal? I think it's also worth pointing out that people who don't have money, who have pets, often rescue those pets. They're the ones who bring the pet in when the neighbor moves and leaves it behind. They find a dog or a cat on the street. They're doing a good deed. We shouldn't restrict the love and support of a pet to somebody just because they have a certain income.
Carol Mithers is an author and journalist based in Los Angeles. Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.